Okay, guys, we're back. Smart Brand Marketing. I have Esty with me today. She had me on her podcast before, so that was a unique experience as well. And we got along really well, so it was one of those things where like we need to be on each other's podcast for sure. And what Esty does is she helps businesses of all sizes scale on minimum budgets, which I like. Because I usually say, you know, Facebook, Google, like their only job is to take your money. And I think for your stuff, you don't even use paid ads almost ever.
Never have.
Man. Yeah, we need to address that. That's the first thing. Because ads are like the hottest thing right now. Webinars, ads. But ads to everything. To webinars, to opt-in pages. How are you getting your traffic? And how have you been getting your traffic for so long without any ads?
So I only recently started doing online courses just about, I want to say like 9 months ago. Our company is a full service creative consulting firm. So most of my clients come word of mouth or they came from me speaking publicly, right? So selling from stage or people who heard me speak, who then sent me their brother's sister-in-law's dog walker, you know, like It's a lot of word of mouth. There's definitely strategies to selling from stage, but that's really how I built the whole company. And then I just took that online and started doing webinars. And I did it off the back of partnerships. I did it off of my own organic social media, right? Because I've been on social media for solid, very strong LinkedIn presence now for probably 2 years. You know, I was brought out to speak at LinkedIn Global. I host the LinkedIn Influencer Summit each year in January. I am one of the co-founders of LinkedIn Local LA. So like LinkedIn's my space. So I filled it up a lot from that. We actually have, it's not a big program, but we do have an online program called LinkedIn 3030, where in less than 30 minutes a day for 30 days, you can actually turn connections into clients on LinkedIn. And it just teaches you how to use the platform as the social medium it has become, as opposed to a glorified online resume. But I digress. Anyways, organic, just being on social media, being out there in the world, and just giving. And then every once in a while being like, hey, want a free class? Yeah, cool, okay. And then those free classes are 95% value, 5% sell.
Yeah, so you're using the other method. So you can sell from stage, for sure. I have a few friends who only sell online courses from the stage. They have zero marketing, but it doesn't scale as well, you know, because it only sells when they speak. I do have people that I know that only have social media presence, right? That's like they're building these personal brands. You have both of those and some organic, but just not paid. Like, I feel like the paid is the scaling part.
The paid is the scaling. Yeah. What gets you from A to B doesn't get you from B to C, right?
It definitely doesn't.
I built the company to six figures in under 2 years with zero in paid ads. And now we're on track to do seven figures with zero in paid. And now it's kind of become an ego thing.
Yeah,
so like, though in theory I could do paid ads at this point, you know, I want to hit, and I talk profit, not revenue.
Yeah.
I want to hit seven figure profit without paid ads. I want to show it can be done. Beyond that, fine. I'll pay. No problem. I don't care. That's not my issue. My issue is I hate the limitations people give themselves. I hate the follower mentality of, well, this is how you do it. So you build a course, you run paid ads, you put them in a funnel, you optimize, you sell the course, you refund the people who lost a bunch of time, money, hope, and life energy on it, and you move on. I hate it.
Yeah, I get that. You know, the problem is with the course creators. They don't have a following. They won't go on stage. They don't have a social presence, right? Like a lot of them coming up to me, and I reject 80% of them, is I have an idea, right? I don't really have any experience in this. No following.
They don't have a course. That's their bigger problem.
Yeah, but that's
many
the
of
thing,
the course
right?
creators don't actually have a course. They don't have a teaching or a training that is worthy of being sold.
That's true. And I've actually been talking about this one that sneaked through on one of my calls, right? Because I have so many things on my pages trying to get people to just move away and not call me at all. But she somehow got through. She's in the most competitive niche which is diet. You know, she's going to help women diet. I'm like, okay, you have zero following, no budget. You're trying to get into the most competitive niche. You know, I guess, you know, high risk, high reward, fine. What is your expertise? None really, other than she lost 10, 15 pounds. I'm like, okay, this is great. And then, you know, eventually I'm just like, why in the world are you creating a course? Like, just sell me on your idea. And this was the dumbest thing ever. Like, this girl flew to South America, you know, this digital nomad bullshit. And then she's like, I just don't want to go back to work. And I heard courses are the thing. And I'm like, wow, like, first, how did you get on this call? And two, like, I can't, I'm not going to help you. I'm not. Like, even if I, you know, used all of my persuasion techniques and just, you know, everything I have to help you sell, I'm like, I'm not going to help you sell this nonsense to people. Like, you have no experience. You're not a dietitian. You're not a anything.
No, you've got nothing. Don't torture people. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of someone that I had on the phone once also that somehow made it through my filters, who was in real estate and she wanted to grow to. And then on the call, she's like, you know, real estate is hard. I think I want to do something easy that doesn't take a lot of time.
Yes.
I think I want to just, you know, sell on Amazon or be a blogger. I could do that a couple hours a week and make 100K a year, can't I?
Oh, no, Esty, can you get me on that track too? Like, where I don't have to do anything hard?
Now, I've worked with professional bloggers and I've worked with Amazon sellers, and they do not work a couple hours a week, let me tell you.
Well, not to start off. Like, I know a few who made it, you know, like, who are making it, like, really well now, and they do work about 1 hour a day. Like, if they don't want to scale anymore, but to get there, oh, it was a lot of pain.
On the other side of a huge amount of hard work and effort, listen, you go to the gym and you lift weights for 5 years in a row, you can pick up a really heavy barbell, no problem, just like that.
That's true.
But you can't walk into the gym going, you know, I saw a guy over there pick up something really heavy. I could do that, right? If I come 1, 2, 3 times, within a month, you could have me picking that up, can't you? No.
So there's this kid at my gym who would try to prove you wrong on this.
And he ripped his arm out.
He's seen some of us picking up like decent weight, and his form is definitely scary, but he pulled it off.
But did he throw his back out?
Well, thankfully he didn't try to do a deadlift all the way down. It was like, okay, just you know, he's moving like a couple inches down, up and up, you know, because the weights are just too much. Like, he would break in half. But, you know, like, if you just look at the motivation and just that,
if you want it bad enough. Now, what I say is, I really do believe you can climb any ladder, just not 14 rungs at a time. You can get anywhere. You can be anywhere you want. Right? You can climb 3 rungs at a time, but not 14. Not unless you want to fall or, you know, split your legs in half. Like, you just, it's not, there's a certain, you know, I, in my marketing magic program, this is our flagship online program offer, right? So this is where business owners come in, typically micro business owners in service industries. We have a lot of niche clothing lines also, and they build a marketing strategy so they never waste money on marketing again. They understand all the elements of marketing, branding and marketing, and how they interface and what's worth it to spend and how to hire people and how to build your logo for cheap and how to get out there and how to price yourselves and how to structure your products and your tiers. It's A to Z, including sales. It's everything. And I just forgot why I was going here. Why was I talking about this?
Ladders going up, just not 14 steps.
Yes. So in the first, thank you for your reminder. in the first week, we do goal setting, right? Because if you don't care where you want to get to, it doesn't much matter which way you go. And we're going to build the strategy according to the money you want to earn, the life you want to lead, and the service you want to bring to the world. And so a lot of people come in that first week, they're like, I want $1 million. I want to work 3 hours a week, $50 an hour, and I'd like to hit $1 million. Esty, you can do that. Isn't it magic?
No, that's called Tim Ferriss's book.
Right, which is not real. That's just not real. And by the way, he's got a whole lot of people working 40 hours a week that he manages. And by the way, he didn't do that on day one.
Well, the funny thing with that book is he wrote that book after he sold his first business for I don't know how many million. And the point of the book was actually to show people just how you can, I guess, spend money to take care of all your problems, right? Like all these,
right?
Yeah, but it just didn't turn out that way. Like, people thought this is how you build a business. And he forgot to mention, the chapter one should have been like, I worked my ass off for years to build this business. I sold it and I didn't know what to do with my time off, but I also don't want to do nonsense like laundry. So I figured out, you know, the system.
But exactly. How do I leverage cash and leverage other people? And by the way, if you're a good delegator and you're good at hiring, like we have 20 people on our team now. Nice. I have to do a lot less. I actually went to bed last night. I said, okay, team, we got an emergency launch. This guy wants us to do a special webinar for his audience. We're doing a marketing webinar for nonprofits. Take the page, duplicate it, build the back end. Please, by the time I wake up. And I woke up and it was done.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, hopefully. But you know what? There were months of building. What built that webinar? 10 years of experience in the industry. What built the page? Months of testing until that page was built. The sequences are now there already. It's a repeat. Yeah. So I can say to the team, repeat, do ABC. Here are a couple of differences. I did some nuances of language. Go. How long did it take me to find these team members, to train them in, to figure out the right tech stack to use?
Yeah.
People ignore that. They hear a statement like that. Wow. As he just said, do this and went to bed. I want to do that. I'm going to tell you, there's years and months and tens of hours that goes before you get to do something like that.
But true.
Then you can.
It's true. Yeah.
You build it and then you can stand on top of it.
Yeah, like with me, my team and I, we work super hard for 9 months every year so we can coast for three.
Awesome. You know,
just so we don't get burnt out. That's the only reason.
Yeah, and that's the choice. To me, I just had a guy today. We don't only do marketing. Marketing is definitely what people come to me for the most because I try to get people to that stable 6-7 figure profit place. And to the stable 6-figure profit place, it's almost always a marketing issue. And beyond that, it's a combination of marketing and systems.
Right.
And so those are like the sweet spots where I hang out. And but one of the things that I do usually with my premium clients is work-life balance. Right, we do what I at this point, I really just call it work-work balance. Because if you can balance your work, then you have time for a life. Right? And work-life balance just, it got overused. So we create work-work balance strategies. How do you begin? And, you know, he had this whole map of the ideal day. He's going to wake up for morning meditation. And then at 8, he's going to have his first meeting with his team. And then at 9, he's going to, then he got the whole day blocked out. But he's up until 2:30 in the morning every night. Why? Because he's essentially a night person.
Right.
And during the day, he's pushing him so hard to get everything done. And most of his time is unfocused. And it's a lot of internal scheduling and not external. It's a lot of internal work. So I call it internal scheduling when you just have a list of things you got to get done, but no one's specifically waiting on the phone for you or coming into the room, externally holding you to it. And so he gets, you know, kind of all over the place. And then literally in his schedule at the end of the night was like, spend 2 hours stressing out over what I didn't get to do today. That's part of the day.
Oh, that's right? Nice.
And I just looked at him and I said, I have a different vision for you. Your chronotype is obviously that you're a natural night person. Yeah, and chronotype is how we interact with time. And there are people who will tell you can change your chronotype. You can become a morning person if you want to. Cute. Good. For the 5 people on the planet that works for, amazing. For the rest of us who want to work with who we naturally are, who are business owners, who one of our privileges is to work according to our personal preferences, because that's one of the privileges of being a business owner, you can work with your natural chronotypes. I said to him, if you like to be up until 2, because you feel clear, you feel charged, you feel focused at night. He's like, yeah. I said, so why don't you work until 2 a.m., right? Guy's single, totally in a space. I said, and wake up every day somewhere between 10 and 12. And he's like, I could do that. I'm like, I'm sorry. Did you need my permission?
Actually, yes. I find
that
people do need permission. That's actually 30% of the people who call me. I'm like, you don't need me. You just needed me to say you can't do this.
Yeah.
And
you just
weird.
Needed permission.
it's so
100%.
Weird.
100%. And the morning person, night person, I feel like in Western culture, it's become a moral issue, right? If you don't wake up early, start your day early, you're lazy.
Oh,
good for nothing.
Oh,
only lazy bums wake up at noon. I'm sorry. You like to go to sleep at 10 p.m. So you wake up at 6, refreshed and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Some of us like to go to sleep at 2, 3 a.m. So we wake up at 10 a.m. bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
That's true. It's true. Yeah. Like
why not? Why not? Live the day you want. He said, I want to, and he had a couple of wish lists, right? Things he wanted to do. He had a whole list of things that he was trying to do that he didn't care about.
Yeah.
And his issue was focus. I said, your issue is not focus. The issue is A, you don't sleep enough. And B, you built yourself a miserable life. You hate most of what you do in your day.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this. Yeah.
Why would you have, and you know, you have a hard time getting up in the morning. I think I need to take something for getting up. I should get back on. You know, everyone's got like, I should do modafinil, I should do Adderall again, I should do Vyvanse. Everyone's got their drug of choice, coffee. My drug of choice is chocolate, yeah. Right? I should take this so that I can wake up and be focused. I said, how about if you get enough sleep and you build a day that's exciting? Would you want to get up then? He's like, yeah. I said, how about that?
Yeah, how about that, huh?
I almost make people cry. I make people cry sometimes.
But it's like with diets too. It seems like this moral thing now. You know, like if you're
totally eating, yeah, being fat is amoral. It's wrong.
It's not even just being fat, but like, you know, like the vegans will try to put you on the right path, or you know.
Oh my gosh! Literally had someone over for dinner when I asked her why she was vegan. I was just kind of curious, like what got her into it. She said it's a moral issue. It was like a glare. I was like, yeah, okay then. No problem.
Oh,
got it.
I actually poked a little further with one of my friends, and he's like, I don't eat anything but eggs. And I'm like, well, so what's the moral issue on the eggs? He's like, I want to eat them before they're born. And I'm like, that's I was like, explain. I don't know.
Kill the babies before they're babies.
But, you know, it's like a lot of these books came out, you know, like The Miracle Morning. You remember that? Or...
Yeah.
There was one which just showed like the majority of all successful people had their days designed like this, so therefore you should wake up in the morning, and if you're not, you're lazy, like that type of thing. Just like with diets, right? Like I just asked the other day, I was like, remember when people used to put butter in their coffee all the time? Is that still a thing?
No, I don't remember that.
So it was a bulletproof coffee.
Oh, I do. It was part of a keto thing. Yes. I do remember that. Yes.
I do remember
that trend. Oh my gosh.
Esty, I went to a conference and they had butter and coffee for everyone during the break. And I'm like, yeah.
Craziness.
But it happened.
And I remember the cabbage diet. When everyone ate like cabbage soup and cabbage salad, because that was trendy until they got super sick.
That usually happens, yeah. But so in business, I feel like it's the same thing, right? Like we get these trends, you know, like you need to run
Facebook ads, Instagram influencers. Here are the business trends. Facebook ads, Instagram influencers, e-commerce, anything. I'm including drop shipping, Amazon and e-commerce, all of that. What are the other, I'm trying to think like the big things that people come to me with. Those are the big three that I hear from everybody, right? If I could just figure out Facebook ads, if I could just figure out funnels, right? If I could figure out my funnel, my Facebook ads, my funnel. If I was an Instagram influencer, then life would be amazing.
But would it really?
And
would it really?
Yeah, it's really not. I cannot tell you. I have lost count of how many Instagram influencers I have personally spoken to.
Wow.
Who have told me, Esty, everyone thinks I'm earning millions of dollars. I'm earning nothing.
Well, yeah.
I've got 23,000 followers. I've got 346,000 followers. I don't earn money on that.
I
get in terms of like, you know, free, I get free stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes people pay me to advertise, whatever. But Jesse, do you know what I spend in photo shoots? Do you know what I spend on travel to keep this up?
Wow.
I can't imagine.
You know, especially now, you know, Facebook is saying they might make ads going straight to webinars illegal, right? Because it's a poor user experience. So that's one thing. That could be interesting.
Ooh, that'll be killer. And they've already downgraded ads to funnels, right? So you test it on a funnel, but then you've got to go and build it in a WordPress.
Yeah. And this is why part of our business is we move everyone into WordPress under our sales pages and opt-ins. I'm like, one, you need to control it and not give Russell Brunson all of your info. Two, you need to have a fast website, and you can't do it on Kajabi or ClickFunnels, which are clunky pieces of shit. And then three, what happens when these things go down, right? Or when Facebook changes things. So with Instagram too, they're taking away the likes. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
With the Instagram.
I literally have people in a panic who are like, what are we going to do? What's going to happen without the likes? We're going to need engagement. It's like, I'm going to actually have to like, but here's my issue with Instagram, right? Because I think you've heard my take on social media. Social media is like a party, right? Your website is your store. It's your home. It's when people come to you. Social media, you go to them. There's a party going on 24/7, but each platform is a different kind of party. So one of the biggest failings, and we teach and we thrive on organic social media, right? So I don't do paid. And so part of the key to unlocking organic social media is understanding each party and showing up to each party appropriately. Yeah. So Facebook is a reunion. Okay, so that's why on Facebook, people are very hesitant to connect with you if they don't know you, haven't met you, aren't friends with a whole lot of people you're friends with, think they know you, one time saw you. That's why people, when I advise organic strategies on Facebook, I say start by joining groups, because that's how you'll get to know people, and then you could friend them and build your influence out. Because people are okay to join groups because it builds their community, and it's part of that whole reunion mentality. I met you, I know you from somewhere, from high school, kindergarten, college, conference one day, down the hall, who cares?
Yeah.
But it's a reunion. And that's why I'll post cat memes and I'll tell you about the fungus on my toe and the bad day I had and the good day I had. And that's just what it's about. And if I'm there and I'm chatting at the reunion, and then once in a while I try to sell something cool. And if someone's running paid ads at the reunion, they're literally that guy with the trench coat coming up to you while you're chatting with your old high school friends going, "Wanna watch?"
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, if it's a really good watch at a really good price, I'll turn around and I'll check you out. But it better be good, because you're interrupting me and I'm busy chatting with my friends.
Yeah.
And I'm busy just downloading. So that's Facebook. And Instagram, coffee shop, pretty pictures on the walls. Oh, see, if you want to post something on Instagram, if you want to print it, frame it, hang it on your wall, don't post it.
Mm.
And everyone's just chatting, and it's very shallow. It's very shallow. It's a coffee shop. So you can close deals at a coffee shop. You don't close too many deals at a reunion. You close deals at a coffee shop. A little bit. But it's shallow.
Yeah.
It's very shallow. Yeah? LinkedIn, networking event. That's why it's my zone. I love networking events. That's why I run LinkedIn Local LA.
Yeah. I always thought, you know, just because you have an Instagram account and a camera, it doesn't make you a model.
That's so mean. You're so mean. I woke up like this.
Oh, yeah. I actually do that to my girlfriend sometimes. When she starts like posting stuff, I'm like, yeah, hashtag woke up like this. Hashtag only 5 minutes for you guys. Hashtag. She enjoyed it. Not really, but she stopped posting so much, because I'm like, I think she got up to 1,000 followers, right? And she got so excited. I'm like, great, ask him to buy us a pizza. Nothing happened.
Ask the followers to buy you a pizza. That's really funny.
Well, if you have 1,000 followers, what's the point, right? Like, if you can't get them to do anything for you at all, just a pizza, just one of the 1,000 followers. Look, Esty, I've been in sales for a long time. If you ask 100 people to buy something, 1% will feel bad for you and just buy whatever that is.
Fair,
right? So if you have 1,000, and if you're asking to buy a pizza, you should have 10.
You should have 10 pizzas.
Yeah, if you can.
That's true. I never thought about that. I wonder if I should test my following and see if they'll order me a pizza. That's such an interest. I might do that. What I love about Instagram is the interactivity, right? So I'm very interactive on my stories. I love asking and polling and getting feedback from people, and what do you want to hear and what do you want me to talk about and tell me what you think. And I love how interactive it is.
Yeah.
Whereas LinkedIn is very professional. And like I said, I'm big on LinkedIn. Dove in over 2 years ago and then haven't looked back. It's been amazing for my business. It's part of why we teach it. But every video I put on LinkedIn is edited, captioned, memed, like thought through. It's tight. Yeah. It's value add. On Instagram, I take out my phone. I go on my stories and I'm like, okay, guys, so here's what I did with my client yesterday. And here's what happened. And, you know, here's where I think it'll be valuable for you. And like, what do you think? And then we're chatting. And people are DMing me, yeah, okay, and they're sending, okay. It's very different, so you understand the platform. Don't show up to a networking event like you would to a coffee shop, like you would to a reunion. Twitter, street corner. I have one for every single platform. And that's why no deals are closed on Twitter, by the way. Even the biggest Twitter influencers, it's very hard to close business, because you can get friends and get these little snippets as you're walking past people, and it's like chat, but like, you're not really, LinkedIn is the best platform for business, because that's what people are there for.
So the funny thing is, Twitter, I find my clients will get great speaking engagements by being active on Twitter.
Correct. Right? It's great for connections and building, let's say, strategic relationships, but you don't close deals.
No. What I use Twitter for is all the things I would never say anywhere else, and I want to test it. I will go on Twitter and, you know, I'll see how the engagement is. I might delete it later on. but I will test the craziest thing, because that's what Twitter is. Twitter is like the craziest thing,
It's really everybody's poop bucket, in my opinion.
Pretty much is. Like, you always have this, like, you always know when you're on Twitter when, you know, you say something and some guy will be like, you know, but that one time, it didn't happen that way. Or, you know, like, you know, when you say, like, you know, you need to track your marketing. Well, I know this one time a guy did not track his marketing and he made money. You know, like, that's Twitter. That's
these are the conflict theorists. This is NLP, people who filter for opposites. So if you say you need this, or this is how it is, or this is how it should be, there are humans on the planet whose natural brain pathways are to automatically filter for why it's not like that.
But that's Twitter. And that's part of why I kind of like
it. And they all hang out on Twitter.
And it kind of reminds me of, like you said, you know, that street corner, or like hanging out at the, you know, in New York, the liquor shop behind
the street corner. That's exactly what I envision. I'm from New York. That is exactly what I picture in my head when I think Twitter.
That's why you talk like the craziest shit when you drank a few. It's like, you know what I think?
This is what I think. Yeah, exactly.
And this is, you know, why I find those tools where you can share all of your info with all of the social media to be kind of useless.
They're worse than useless. They are absolutely. So this is how I explain that. Let me give you a great example. I call it the empty store syndrome. Okay. Yeah. The empty storefront. So I literally had a guy like this. All my examples are real, but I blur it so that you should never know. So, like, guys become girls become guys, accountants becomes photographers become e-commerce. Like, I change everything up. So if you think you know who I'm talking about, you definitely don't. So I had a guy, let's say he was an accountant, right? And so he got one of these, you know, marketing for accountant companies. Really don't love these guys. Because most of the time they don't know what they're doing. They know one pathway. It's worked for them. Yeah. It works for some people. And then they, you know, get a couple testimonials, but it doesn't work for most people typically. And I get so many of these people in my programs who've been burnt by other quote unquote experts. Anyways, so he gets this marketing for accountants company, and they set up his Hootsuite, and they give him a blog post. And every week they put this blog post out and they send it on to his blog and his RSS feed and to his email list and to his Twitter and to his LinkedIn and to his Facebook and to his Instagram every week. Now, he's paying them a very decent amount of money for his very active multi-platform social media strategy implementation. Look at all those fancy buzzwords. Esty, don't you see why this is worth thousands of dollars a month? Look how valuable it is. Look how much they're doing for me. Look at all the boxes they check. And I said, let's look at your platforms. Let's look at your engagement. Let's look at what's going on there. He said, oh, I don't look at it. I said, let's look. How many of your emails are getting opened? How many retweets and comments and likes do you have? How many likes in general? How many messages? How many anythings? Almost zero everywhere, right? One, two in certain places. Because one idiot will like almost anything as they go down. They're just like. Right? I see on my Instagram sometimes, someone comes in, they follow me, and then they like everything I did for the last 6 months. I'm like, that was cute. I don't really believe you liked all of that, though. But thanks for getting attention. And that's all they're trying to do. They're just trying to get my attention, right? They got some VA or some company or some bot somewhere just trying to get my attention to check out their page. That's all they're doing. And I said, this is what it's like when you do that. Imagine you said, Esty, I got to open a store because everyone else has got a store open. I got to open a store too. You know what? The best place to open my store is on the main avenue, on the main street in the big city. I'm going to open my restaurant on the main avenue where all the other restaurants are. Got big glass window. I set up my whole restaurant because I got to be there, but no one's inside. So everyone's walking by your restaurant all day long, seeing that no one's in there. Since no one's in there and they walk by all day long seeing no one's in there, either your food stinks, your service stinks, or it's a front for some criminal operation. Either way, I'm not coming in.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you do when you do a quote unquote multi-platform strategy through some auto poster, posting everything everywhere, spray and pray. All you've done is open a glass window to show the world that no one likes you. It's horrible. Better not to be there.
Yeah, the problem is they just, you know, this one approach doesn't fit all the platforms, right? Like, you can't post the same thing on the street corner as you would be at a networking event.
Of course not. You know, and it doesn't help you whatsoever. Show up to the one party that you should be a part of, right? So we were big on LinkedIn, but for like a year and a half before I like started to react, I first tried Instagram and it was okay, but like it wasn't really my space. And then I went to to LinkedIn, and LinkedIn was super, super my zone. And so I paused Instagram when I went to LinkedIn. I just paused it. Yeah. I don't have the bandwidth. And then I did not have my whole team. We're going back a couple of years. I was like me and one, two other people, did not have the bandwidth. I just paused it. I just completely stopped. I said, I'm not getting enough from this to make it worth it. And I'm all in on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's going great. Paused Instagram, just ignored it completely for like a year and a half. Just left it there. It randomly grew followers, but like I literally didn't post anything probably for a year plus. And then LinkedIn stabilized. We got it going, and I have, you know, my team helping me with it. So it's a combination of me and other people. And I said, you know what? I think it's less than a year ago, reactivated Instagram. I said, let's reactivate this. It was fun. I think it's a good place to go again now. Brought someone in to help me, internal, and it's going amazing. And we're earning money on it. And it's, like I said, I love the interactivity of it. I love getting feedback on my ideas. I'll put out an idea. I'll get instant responses from people. Yes, Esty, we want this. No, we don't. Yes, we do. This is how we want it. This is how we want it different. I love it. So if you're one person, pick one party to show up at. Otherwise, you're the guy who's showing up at every wedding, drinking a beer, and just walking around drunk. Like nobody.
That's true.
You're not connecting with anybody. And then you're like, organic social media doesn't work. No, drinking a beer at every party doesn't work because you're not anywhere.
But how many pizzas can you get?
I have to try. I'm gonna have to try the pizza thing.
You gotta try.
I'm gonna try the pizza thing. We're gonna see what happens. I think I'm gonna try it. I'm serious. I'm fascinated by it, and it really does make sense. I'm like scared too, because I don't like asking my audience for anything. But as an experiment, I feel like I would ask them and see. I just don't know what I would do with a dozen pizzas.
So you know, it could be something else, but at just that low price point, you know, I'm just thinking like less than $10, right? Like that's just an impulse thing. Like no one really thinks about it, and that's why the 1% thing that should definitely work, because it's like, you know, it's such a small thing. Like 1% should just be like, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
I've never tried to sell, like, I get way more. Whenever I do like a free training or any of these things, we get way more than 1%. We get like a crazy percentage. We get like, our numbers are off the charts. So free stuff, I know everybody wants.
Yes.
And paid stuff, we have decent conversion rates, very. But I've never tried to go straight from social to conversion. That's going to be very interesting. When we do our launch, I'll tell you when I'm going to test this, and you and I can follow up on it.
Okay.
We're doing a launch in about a month and a half of our entry-level offer, right? So we have our online program. We have our one-on-one consulting. We have our implementation services where we actually build people's logos, brandings, websites, and all of that stuff in WordPress and ClickFunnels, depending what's appropriate for them. Kartra sometimes. Well, it depends on the person and their need and their stage and moving it around. But even with one-on-one, we don't have anything comprehensive that's really affordable to people who are still at the starting stages, still trying to hit a stable five figures. And so we're building out what I call Business Idea Bootcamp, where you take your business idea, whether you just have it in your head or you've been dabbling, and you put it through boot camp. Does it have what it takes? And if it doesn't, here's some basic training for it. This is what you need to do to it so it will have what it takes. All right, so that's gonna be a very low ticket offer, and it's not a webinar sell. It's a page. I'm gonna show you the whole thing. I'm gonna explain the whole thing, but it's so inexpensive that, and it's gonna be evergreen, right? Because people have business ideas every day.
Yeah.
I want them to have a way that they can guarantee money in their pocket, profit from their business idea. Because everyone can guarantee a loss from their business idea. All right, my program is gonna show them how they can guarantee profitability.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So I guess we're gonna find out, because I'm gonna send everyone from social straight to the page. I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let them know about it. I'm gonna let them know why I built it. I built it literally because that's what they've been asking me for. They said, Esty, can you make us something cheaper? Can you make us something more basic? Can you make us something so that we know if it's even worth pursuing our idea further? So I said, yes, because you ask and I do. How's that work?
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, like a low value thing like that. It should be a no-brainer. At least 1% should take
at least 1% should convert.
Yeah.
All right, that'll work. I'm cool with 1% converting on that. I'll take it.
Yeah, let's see. Because I'm always curious about this, you know, like the Instagram followers.
But I might really have to try pizza. So I have, and again, it depends on your thing. Like I have a few thousand Instagram followers, but I have hundreds of people engaged.
Yeah.
On a daily basis. I know people who have 10,000 plus or tens of thousands, and they also have hundreds of people engaged on a daily basis.
Right. Like my thought
process.
So
it's not your top tier numbers. And I know people who have tens of thousands who do have thousands engaged, right? They're fewer and farther between. They built organically. They live Instagram. These are my people who, when I work with them, they're spending upwards of 5 hours a day on their own, not even counting external people on the platform.
That's wild.
Storying, commenting, responding. It's a full-time job.
That's wild. See, so that's what I feel like, you know, instead of, like when you say, oh guys, I got 5 minutes for you and I'm making this video, well, do they have $10 for you?
That's a great question.
To get you a pizza, you know, because time is money, right? So you're, you know, like with the podcast too, we put out these podcasts, but yeah, this is like time which we could take and make money with. But we just give it away for free, right?
So totally. Then
once in a while, if I ask something and nothing comes back, I'm like, well, I don't think we value our time the same. So,
but you know what I get? I get messages on my podcast that are just amazing. And this is where, you know, I do think to myself, because like my 5-day marketing success challenge, we built it as a mini program, a paid mini program, and it went viral on launch, got 600 people in the first 48 hours. I said we'd let in 200 people free, 600 people got them free before I could even shut it down, right? To date, over 1,000 people have gone through it just in a couple of months. Again, no paid traffic, just organic, word of mouth. It's just up on my site. People go and the stats on the back end, because I look who clicks through and who's watching the videos and how much they're watching. They're really doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling to put it behind a paywall or not. I don't know. Because my plan always was, it definitely I literally had someone, this is a crazy story, I could not make this up, okay? This is a very cool story. I reached out to a local practitioner in LA. I needed some kind of therapeutic service for one of my kids. And I reached out to someone who was recommended by someone in the school. I said, hi, you know, my name is Esty Rand. And, you know, I got you recommended by so-and-so person to help my kid with XYZ. And the guy says to me, Esty, you don't know who I am? I said, really sorry, I don't. He said, I guess you don't know everyone who does your challenge. He said, I did your 5-day challenge. He said, and it changed my business. He said, and I said to my wife, I should really call her up and pay her because that was really worth money to me. He said, and here you are. He said, you know what? I've never done this before. I want to offer you a free session for your kid.
That's nice. Yeah.
That's crazy. And I've had people message me and say, wow, like this changed my business. This changed my life. So part of me says, hey, it's really changing you. I should charge you for it. And then part of me says, but you wouldn't have paid for it. And then you wouldn't have gotten the change you need. And what am I here for?
Yeah, I wouldn't charge for that. Like there's a lot of stuff I give away like that. And I've had people, like when I'm back in the States, you know, for a few months, like messaging me, and since you're back in the States, can we just meet up or get on the call? And I'll listen to, and I don't know why some of these people listen to my podcast. I appreciate it, but I don't. Like, it'll be a mechanic or like a person that's got a roofing company. And I'm like, wow, like, you know, because we always speak mostly about like business marketing online and courses and things like that. But it's like a regular business. He's like, I'm getting value out of this.
I love it.
It's so interesting, right? Like, I mean, I get a lot of the people I would expect to listen. Like, they would say, you're that guy, which is, yeah, which is good. But then when I'll get someone like that, and I'm like, wow, how did I help your business? And they'll mention something from like, you know, months ago. And I'm like, that's crazy. That is crazy.
And it's so cool. You know what? That kind of feedback to me keeps me going. I posted on Instagram the other day, we were talking about focus. And, you know, I put out one of those little bubbles that said, like, how do you stay focused? And I'm getting, you know, dozens of responses. And one of the responses says, I listened to your podcast. Yeah. I don't think she was trying to butter me up. I think she was being honest. It was just so sweet. You know, and I had people just randomly reach out. Esty, I took your challenge and I just want to tell you, it changed my business. I just need to tell you. And for every one person who reaches out, I know there's 10 who didn't.
Yeah.
At least.
At least, yeah. Yeah.
I'm here because I want everyone to do what they love, earn buckets of money, and have time for their life and family. And as I scale and as I grow, part of my commitment was to make more and more resources available for free for people who then wouldn't be able to afford me. And the percentage that can, and that my free stuff helps them be able to afford our paid stuff. Okay, great. So I've still got a business. I'm still totally profitable and I'm able to help more people. So I think we all win.
Yeah, I think so. I like giving away free stuff. Like usually, you know, in exchange for an email at least, because I want to know who's kind of, you know, going through it. But yeah, I think it's great. And some of the free stuff, because I give really valuable stuff away too. Like I've had this one guy, he's like been messaging me in Chiang Mai here. He's like, ah, can we meet up? Like I went through all your stuff. And then he, you know, we meet up at a coffee shop. He's got a few questions for me. He's like, dude, you can buy anything you want here.
Well, that's so sweet.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, really, you think I came here because I need your help? Like, with this? Like, just sit down and ask me what you need. Like, this is, you know, not why I came.
But those are the things that are so sweet. Like, when I started getting gifts, that's also what I think is fun about Instagram, although I got from LinkedIn people also. But, like, I started getting gifts. Like, someone, like, people send me stuff. They, like, message me, like, what's your address? I want to send you a present. I'm like, I like presents.
Yeah.
Okay. I take presents. And my staff's like, Esty, you're an influencer. I'm like, I'm not an influencer. Like, you're getting free gifts. You're an influencer. But I think that's, you know, you don't do it for the gratitude, but the gratitude does help you keep going because you know that you're making a difference to people.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Yeah, you should get gifts. I should send you a mouse pad with my face on it.
I think I prefer the clothing. Oh, that's awesome. I am looking at a very, very cool mouse pad, but now that we have laser mice for like the last 15 years, I don't know why you need it.
Well, so I went to a conference and I was sponsoring it, and I thought, like, what's the one thing I can do that'll get everyone talking? And this was it. And it got everyone talking.
Nobody needs them anymore?
No, like, actually, a lot of people do use them. Like, one of my friends, he had an event right after that conference, and he said he came in the room, and he had 30 people sitting there and all had my mouse pad on the table. He said it was surreal. It was the weirdest thing. And I've had people sending me videos of, like, rubbing my face on the mouse pad and, like, just pictures. And I'm like, this is great.
What do they use it for? I'm saying mouse pads were made because we had rollerball mice and they used to get stuck on desks and different surfaces. But when you have a laser mouse, what is the purpose of a mouse pad? Exactly.
So a lot of the surfaces, when you go to coffee shops and things, when, like, people travel, they don't work well. Even with the laser, they just don't work well, right? So people use,
they're,
like,
bumpy or whatever.
Yeah, so
okay.
People will use, like, a piece of paper or something that's not great. And, like, wow, you know, I actually could have used the mouse pad. It's been so difficult. I'm like, well, you got my face on it now.
I love it. That's awesome. It's so funny because when I travel, I usually just use the touchpad on my computer. And it's true. I don't think about it, but it's true. Okay, cool. I learned something new. Mouse pads are helpful in coffee shops. I like learning new things every day.
Yeah, but you should have seen it though. Like the organizer himself, he's just looked at it. He's like, Tom, what the hell?
I think it's great. Like your face just plastering the place. Great.
It was just people were taking it. They're like, oh no. But yeah, so tell me a little bit just about the course that you've been putting out, because you've been doing launches, right? So every month or so you've been launching it. Just how has it been improving, and like what the challenges are from launch to launch? I'm just curious before we finish.
Sure. So it's actually been a really cool journey. So we didn't do it every month. We've done 3 launches to date, and the fourth is set for end of January, the next, because I've been doing them in cohorts. And you know what? I'm going to pick your brain on this now. I'll tell you about it, and then you'll tell me what you think, because I'm excited. So launch number one, I sold something that didn't exist. It did, right? Because I've been doing this work with clients for over 10 years. I had the process down pat, just the actual online training materials didn't exist. So I sold the first cohort at half price. I said, listen, half price, you'll have all the updates forever. I'm going to teach this one live. It'll be the only one I do live because I'll record it and then it will be recorded. And that's it, right? We got 37 people, first cohorts, 10% conversion live on the webinar. And then another at least 10, 15 on the back end, something like that. I don't remember my exact numbers. I know we had 37 people in that first cohort. Super cool. That was February. We do another launch in May. I had spoken at a big conference in New York, plus the first time I hadn't really driven all my social media traffic. I just done like one social media video, told people, sent out one email to my list. It was like very haphazard. I was like, let me see what happens. It worked. I was like, okay, I got something. So we did our second launch, and this was kind of a test of, does it work if I'm not doing it live? Right, like now it's pre-recorded. Yeah. Does this work if I just come on and do the coaching every week? We put 50 people in that cohort. We still did it at half price. I said, I'll do once more at half price because I feel like I'm still testing the concept. I did it once, it was good. I wanna test it now one more time. I feel like you guys are still little beginning pigs, you know, because now it's pre-recorded, you're my last set of guinea pigs. So let's see how it goes. Great. And it went fantastic. We did our third launch now October, and we put the price back to normal, which is theoretically double, but it was really just that it was half until then.
Yeah.
And we changed all the bonuses because one of my guys said, Esty, you should change the bonuses. So we changed the price, we changed the bonuses, and we did it as a JV launch. So I didn't really tell my audience about it too much. I told my email list about it, but I wasn't big on social media about it. I mentioned once or twice that we were doing it, and that was it. And we put another 30 people in at double the price with a higher. So our program. So here's what's very interesting about what we do. It's your standard online 8-week group coaching program, although I'm seriously considering turning it into 10 because people have been telling me it's a little too intense. I'm going to ask my group if they want it extended to 10. I'm going to extend it for them, and I'm going to make the whole thing in general a 10-week.
Yeah.
My goal is that they get the most value, right? So I'm always living on their feedback. So who cares that everyone else does an 8-week? I do a 10-week. Okay.
Yeah.
If that's what my people need, that's what they're going to get. So we have both the basic online program where you go through the trainings and you have your worksheets and you have your infographics, you have your weekly coaching session with Esty and you can answer all your questions. I've got a full support team on the back end. Some of the feedback we got from previous cohorts is that they wanted, you know, just more support, right? Just more like someone to talk to all the time. So great. I hired someone who's literally her entire job dedicated to answering people all day. Like that is her job. So we fixed that problem. But we have a VIP upgrade, right? When we're live cohort, we take our much more expensive one-on-one marketing strategy that we do one-on-one with our premium clients, and we discount it about 30%, and you upgrade to VIP, where you're part of the online cohort. So you have the group support, you have my coaching, but you have one-on-one meeting with our team every single week to hold your hand through. Because people say the group coaching doesn't work for me, groups don't work for me, online doesn't work for me. Great, we'll do it with you one-on-one. So we have an amazing upgrade rate. Something like 17%.
That's really nice.
Which is, yeah, it's really cool. And I think it's just because the offer is so unique, right? People really, because I did my own online course and I wish that they had something like that. That's part of why I built it. Like, I wish I could just pay not tons more, but I'm willing to pay somewhat more for someone to guide me through this, to hold me accountable, to sit with me every week, and not just a buddy in the program, which we also, you know, are open to doing. And some people have said yes and some no, so we're playing with it. But someone of the company team to sit with me, you know, and then we write up their strategy for them and we give them their execution plan and their web footprint analysis recommendations. There's a bunch of bonuses in there.
Yeah.
And so what's next, and this is where I'm going to pick your brain, is I was going to turn it then evergreen, right? So as of January, this is the last cohort that goes as a cohort. As of January, it's evergreen, which means you can come in and out whenever you want, right? You come in, you do your 10 weeks, you jump out, and every week there's a coaching call wherever you're at in the program. That's the question you're going to ask that week. But one of the things that I've been seeing is that we really, in this program, take people on a journey. It's a journey of self-discovery, of business growth. And I'm going to ask my participants, but I'm not sure that it shouldn't always be in cohorts. I'm not sure because I find that the participants bond. They make business contacts, friends. I don't know that it would be this. And again, I'm only here because I want to make it the absolute best, most beneficial experience possible for people. That's why I built it. I built it because our one-on-one services got too expensive and my time got too maxed. And yeah. So how can I help the most people in the best way? This is how. So I'll keep adjusting this thing according to feedback until I've got it in the best way possible. Want me to add weeks? I'll add weeks. You know, want to do it as evergreen? I'll do it evergreen. Want to not do it evergreen? I won't do it evergreen. Something's telling me not to go evergreen with it. But it should always be in cohorts.
Yeah, like what I would do, and I've seen this work, usually with people who have multiple courses running like this at the same time, but I would keep the same strategy. It's basically keep like a college schedule, right? Where, you know, this course starts every 10 or 11 weeks.
And yeah, that's what we've set up right now. That's exactly what we set up. But I set it up 3 times a year only. I didn't set it up every 11 weeks. I set it up like every 3 months. So it runs in the fall so that you're prepped for the new year, right? So that's the November, December cohort. Then it runs new year. When you hit the new year, you're like, oh, missed the boat. Okay. So it runs February, March, because until you're done with January. So like January is the launch sequence and then February, March is when it's active. And then give myself a little breather. And then it'll run like May, June, or like May, June, July, like kind of bleeding in there, getting into the summer, but not hitting the end of the summer when everyone spaces out. And then kick off again November. That was the kind of schedule I kind of mapped out for it.
Yeah, I would increase the frequency a little bit, but I would also have someone step up that's, you know, kind of ran it with you for a while and become kind of like the unofficial instructor too. You know,
where
you,
I could do that. I could easily do that. And the truth is I could run multiple cohorts at a time, right? With this one, let's say the coaching's on Thursdays. So if we need to run another cohort simultaneously because there's a big demand or I just did a big event and there's a lot of people who want to come in, they want to come in now and don't have something running, I'll launch one and the coaching will be on Tuesdays.
Yeah, you could do that too. You could start one like every 6 weeks during like those two semesters, right? So you still have, right, you know, the holidays off and summer off. And just every 6 weeks, a new one starts. I mean, like, oh, if you miss this one, we have the next one starting in 6 weeks. And then, you know, just run like four or five in the space of one or two you're running right now.
We can stack it. I think I will. I think I'm going to keep it as a cohort. I think that it's the biggest win for the participants when they go on the journey together. Yeah. As opposed to like one person still working on branding, the other person's already working on social media strategy. It's like, they're not together then. And I find that one of the benefits of group coaching, and I really believe this, is there's group support. It's lonely being an entrepreneur. It's lonely being out there on your own.
But I just find this for any course that's like a journey, right? So when they're teaching like stuff like cooking or fitness, like where you have to progress every single week, they work much better in the system you're doing. If someone's just learning WordPress, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. It's just, you know, like the slow people will hold, you know, the fast ones down. And it's like, you know, I kind of want to go into this now. So like the stuff you can learn quickly by yourself, like I would not do it. But with yours, yeah, like a journey is always more fun with people around you.
With a group.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we're going to do. Business Idea Bootcamp is going to be evergreen. Any day you want, any day of the year, it's all automated and it's going to have, I have secrets for it. There's going to be an interactive coaching element to it. I'm not going to share the secret, but there's going to be, people are going to have the ability to ask questions of me and my team. It's not going to be just like self, like on your own. And it's going to have that same VIP upgrade where you can also work with us one-on-one and we'll build your business plan for you, your profitability plan, right? Which it includes marketing, it includes systems, operations, financial management, business concept. It's really, I'm doing this more than 10 years, right? Micro business is, I breathe it. I bleed it. Like it is everything for me. So that's evergreen. So if you can't wait till the next cohort, great. Kick off with bootcamp. And then we'll put you into the next thing.
Yeah.
Start here.
Yeah, that's what I think too. I wouldn't change it because I've seen this model work really well with the journeys. You know, I've really seen it. People have built up substantial course businesses doing it that way. And the next step is, you know, just creating more. So you have like a regular schedule, like you can go into this class or that one and having someone else instruct it for you. So some of these guys, you know, they started off the business and they're still marketing and promoting it through their face. But when you actually get in a class, you know, like, oh, this instructor who was handpicked by me is leading this class and that one, you know, so they can.
So that's tough for me. And I might have to get there. But someone actually said to me, Esty, one of the things we love about your program is that you still lead it. Like so many people at my level, they do exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
You don't get the founder. You don't get the brain trust at the same level.
So you could do, you know, like corporate training, right? The founders come in for the first 3-4 days.
Yeah. So there, I think that's, if I ever did that, and I'm going to try as long as I can not to.
Yeah.
Again, but my goal is to serve the most people in the best way. It's not just the most people. And it's not just the best way, it's the most people in the best way, right? Because many people, when they reach a higher level, like me and you, like either you take the route of, I take 3 private clients at the end, right? At a premium price. Or very often they take the route of like, okay, I'll take thousands of people into my $300 program, you know? And I want both. I want premium service, maximum impact. But there are certain pieces of this program that I probably do different than, it's really my brain trust. Yeah. So like the early branding stages and core brand. And because I breathe it. And then there are certain parts that I really could bring in other people on the team who in some ways are more expert than me on some of the nuances of implementation strategy, certain social media elements. So I think that will definitely work as we build it out long term.
Yeah. That's why. So you should probably just stay with the branding part. You know, that's like the week with Esty or two. And then you bring the team.
Always going to be me.
Yeah. So I think that's fine.
I love it. And then I have time to build out my other one. So then there's another one in the works, which is called Becoming Boss, Business Owner Success Story.
Becoming Boss.
becoming boss. But this is where you start to scale. This is where you got the revenue, but you need to now staff, hire, systems, processes, organization, right? You're chasing your tail. The money's flowing, but oh my gosh, I can't manage my life. So this is where work balance comes in. This is where staffing and delegation and systems and scaling strategies. It's becoming a boss. It's leadership training. It's everything.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
And that's next on my list as soon as I open up a teeny bit of bandwidth.
Yeah, you gotta get that work balance thing going for yourself.
I just built out. So I do a master plan. I do it with my clients. I do it with myself. I usually do one for myself anywhere from every 3 to 6 months because life shifts. So I just did it last night with my PA so that she knows how to set up my calendar, right? Because now we grew our team exponentially the last few months, really tremendously. 8 people we brought on, I think, in the last month and a half or something. So in terms of the onboarding and the training, parts of it are at this stage, I like doing it. I really like, these are high level people I'm bringing in. I want them to have my flavor. I want them to understand our culture. And the best way you can understand our culture is not from some document or mission statement I make you print and hang on your wall, because we're a fully virtual team. It's from talking to me regularly. It's from picking my brain. It's from understanding why I'm here and what I want us to be doing. You know, so when a staff says like, oh, should I even answer this one? And I look at them and I say, we have a policy of no email left behind. Yeah, we should answer that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now.
I think it'll be a good lead magnet too. Setting up this mastermind plan, I think a lot of people would like a lead magnet like that.
Ooh. Master plan lead magnet. That'll be the lead magnet for becoming boss.
Yeah, because like I've had someone who tried so many lead magnets for their course, and like the one that everyone wants, like, what is your perfect morning routine? So with yours, like this, you know, it just makes...
It's your perfect work balance. Yeah,
I think that would be a really good lead magnet. People would get interested. And you could explain how you set yours up so they could see that and be like, wow, I want that too. I mean, you know.
100%. I have dozens of samples of clients that I've done. Again, I scrub all the personal information, but explaining how it works and why they need one, and built into that is the understanding that for it to work, there has to be staff, there has to be systems, there has to be scalability. And it's kind of really, in a way, it's almost the culmination. It's the introduction and the culmination of becoming boss. Because the master plan that you come in with is not the one that you're going to come out with.
That's true, yeah. That's like, you know, when Mike Tyson says, you know, you have this whole strategy and plan and training until you get hit in the face in the ring and it's over. Like, you lose all that.
I hear that. Man plans, God laughs is another version.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. All right, Esty, it's been great. Where can people find you?
So if they go to estyrand.com/free gift, because you know I'm not going to let you check me out without giving you a present. So estyrand.com/free gift. At the moment, the 5-day marketing success challenge is there. And if I take Tom's advice, then I won't put a paywall on it and you can still access it. But I always put something really cool there. Hey, you know what? You might get the master plan lead magnet there. It really depends on my mood. But at the moment, you can get access to our 5-day marketing success challenge for free, which was really built as a play program and it really changes lives. So that's your best way to find me. And that's your best way to gain from me, I think, as a starting point. estyrand.com/free gift.
Yeah, go grab it now. That's what I would do. I actually signed up.
Yeah,
for
I would not I do change my mind frequently. Yeah, I'm a total squirrel. I really change my mind frequently where I'm like, you know, I think the free gift should be something else today. So.
But I actually like that, you know, just how you just redirect it to whatever new idea you have. Like some people will say, like, you know, you have this thing, like this specific URL for yours. I can see it redirects. So it's like, you know.
Always. Yeah. Correct. I like whatever. And that to me, that's part of my system processes brain, right? I was a CIO, chief information officer, for 6.5 years. I do operations. I actually am currently, for one of my premium clients, I am their interim COO, right? So I run the operations and systems. So everything that I can build more efficient, more effective, more evergreen, I do. All right, so if I were to, let's say, go to estyrand.com/5-day challenge, that might not be there in 6 months.
Yeah.
But the free gift will always be there because I'm always going to give away something for free.
Yeah, I'm loving it. All right, thank you again.
Thank you. This is super fun.
Before you go, let me know if you enjoyed this interview. Leave a review, subscribe, join the Smart Brand Marketing Facebook page, whatever is easiest. Also, if you need my help marketing your online course, or know that your business could use some SEO, come to smartbrandmarketing.com, check out the case studies, and reach out to me. Once again, smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.